Hey, it's Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. Hi, everybody. Everybody being not actually everybody, just the members. This is for you guys. Again, the last time was really popular. Lots of nice feedback about doing this. So there's going to be more audio going forward. I'm going to deliver this audio the same way that I did the last time, because the only correct way to deliver audio is to actually do a podcast. It's the only sane way to regularly deliver audio. But the tech friction is very high for that project. Lots and lots of administrative and marketing and technical decisions, and particularly complicated by the fact that I'm delivering to members only. So whatever podcast I do, however I podcast, it has to understand my authentication system on painscience.com. So that's gonna take me a little time to work out. But it's also seems kind of inevitable now, having gotten really, you know, a bunch of nice feedback. I don't think I can avoid it. Podcast is happening now after 20 years of procrastinating. It's finally going to start, you know, kind of by accident all of a sudden. So here we are. And once again, I'm going to do this come hell or high water in one take, because I just know that if I allow myself to do more than one take, it's going to take too long. So here we go. One take. Today's post is called Whacking Joints In and Sensation Enhanced Placebo. David Butler of, you know, I've never said this out loud. It's not NOI Group. I guess it's NOI. I think it's an NOI Group. Yeah, it has to be NOI Group. David Butler of NOI Group in Australia has a terrific story about a client who brought him a gift of half a sheep. You should read the original of that. It's a good clinical yarn. But you can start with this highly condensed version and what I like about it. It's not really about sheep, by the way. That's just a bit of memorable Australian color. Fred was a middle-aged farmer with neck pain who believed that he needed routine spinal adjustments. He specifically asked David to whack them back in. It was not what David wanted to do for his patient. He knew that he had no good scientific justification for whacking anyone's vertebrae in. I don't think any... Oh, this is David speaking. Quote, David said, "I don't think anything goes out except fires and me on occasional Friday nights. Joints may get a bit stiff or rarely locked, but that is about it." Yeah, indeed. Spinal subluxation is a controversial concept at best, and it is unlikely that any spinal joint is ever dislocated such that it is literally out. At least not without major trauma. I have a whole article about that because, of course, I do. The URL for that is painscience.com/subluxation. We'll get you there. So, David didn't want to whack Frank's joints back in. Or, sorry, not Frank, Fred. And now I'm scanning to make sure that I actually wrote... Oh my God, I didn't. I do. I have both Fred and Frank in the post. Editing time. That's one reason to read these before I actually send them out by newsletter, to read them out loud. It's amazing the errors you catch when you're reading out loud. God, so what is it? Is it Fred or is it Frank? Now I'm not sure. I'm gonna click on the link myself and go check. It's live editing, folks. Riveting stuff. I am editing for you. It's Fred. It's Fred. The original post is called Fred and a Half Sheep. There is no Frank. Right, back to the post. Nevertheless, David chose to do what Fred asked of him. Why? Well, because of one of the other pillars of evidence-based medicine: patient values and expectations. And here we have a diagram, and I will describe that to you. It's a Venn diagram, three circles overlapping. One of the circles is patient values and expectations. The other is scientific evidence, and the other is clinical expertise. Those are the three things that make up evidence-based medicine. It's not just about evidence. It never has been just about evidence. It's about combining, about judicious combining of those three things. And patient values and expectations are really important. And Fred wanted a whack, so Fred got whacked. And David got a happy customer and a half sheep, which is cute. So what happened there? Anything? Why was Fred satisfied beyond just getting what he ordered? I mean, we're all happy when we get what we order. Did anything happen other than that? David says that he probably manipulated Fred's perceptions, as well as perhaps doing something to the joint structures. But he clearly doesn't think that he did much to Fred's joints. He calls it a placebo. And that brings me to the bit that I want to add to this. This is the point of the post, which was inspired by the Fred story. I think that this was not just a good example of placebo, but of a sensation-enhanced placebo. A great example. One of the classic examples of a sensation-enhanced placebo. So what the heck is that? Sensations are a uniquely potent way to satisfy patient expectations. Most placebo uses a variety of psychological tactics to get the patient's hopes up. Everything from just straight up lying, quote, this is powerful medicine, it will heal you, even, you know, when it's totally not, like, you know, homeopathy, for instance, literally no active ingredients. You just pretend that it's potent and the patient believes you. Voila, placebo. Everything from straight up lying to infamously odd cues and clues like the color of a pill. But you can take this to another level if you can induce a vivid sensation that makes the treatment seem like it's really doing something, strongly reinforcing the patient's beliefs about what is wrong and what will help him. It is one thing to think that the medicine is doing something. It's another to feel it doing something. I reckon that sensation-enhanced placebo is the engine that powers most manual therapies. It's actually the main reason they exist. It's why we love massage. It drives the demand for these services and always has. For better or worse, this is why patients love to be massaged, adjusted, stretched, jostled and vibrated, taped and scraped, zapped and jabbed, and more. Anything that is done to patients that creates a sensation that reinforces their belief. Sensation enhanced placebo is something I've written about before, and you can read more about that concept in my placebo article. There's a section in that article called Sensation Enhanced Placebo. Just go to painscience.com/placebo. I haven't had much to add to this post except my meta digressions about the process of creating this post. But here's one extra detail. I really related to this story about Fred/Frank because I had a Fred. I had a patient who was so much like Fred that it's kind of spooky. He never brought me a half sheep because we're in Canada and that is not a thing. Probably no massage therapist in Canada has ever gotten a half sheep as a gratuity. But my patient was a farmer and very salt of the earth, very colorful, very folksy. And I don't know that he ever used the term, you know, whack. I don't know that he ever came to me and said, whack me back in. But he definitely wanted me to put his joints back in as a massage therapist. And that's what he asked for every time, in an extremely similar way to David's Fred. He knew exactly what he wanted. He knew exactly what he believed would help him. And he hired me to do it. And I did it. And at the time, I thought I was doing something to the joints to some degree, although even then I was pretty skeptical about subluxations. But I certainly wasn't as educated about it as David was. I wasn't thinking, oh my God, I'm doing scientifically nonsensical treatment. Why am I doing this despite that? I was not nearly, you know, that self-aware or that, you know, educated about the science. I had my doubts that I was adjusting his joints in any meaningful way. But I did what he asked because of patient values and expectations. And he freaking loved me. He was one of the most satisfied patients I ever had. He was just such a bubbly and enthusiastic soul, a very positive person. And he was so definite after, you know, I think he'd had neck pain for 25 years, and he just knew exactly what he wanted. And he always seemed thoroughly pleased with the result for, you know, a little while. And then, of course, he'd be back for more. So that's my Fred-like patient story. Okay, this has been your one-take reading of the blog post. Again, I will be doing more of this erratically at first while I get organized. And hopefully within a month or two, I will launch a proper podcast. Maybe it'll be, you know, a podcast for everyone with both free and member posts, just like the blog, or maybe it'll just be a few extra recordings for you guys. I don't know. I feel kind of freer when I know that it's just going to members. I feel much freer to wing it and improvise and do this in one take. So I don't know. I don't know that I want to read to everybody else. I just want to read to you guys, my members. And thank you, by the way. I've written this down many times in the last few months, but I haven't said it out loud. Here's my chance. It's mind-blowing how great it is, how lovely it is that you are paying me to support doing what I do, to help keep my butt in this chair, writing what I write, publishing what I publish. Really means a lot. I'll say more about that in future recordings, perhaps, and what it's been like for my career and how it's changing it. But it's been fun, and I'm extremely grateful. So thanks, everyone, and talk to you next time.